Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word of God, spoken by angels, was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own good will, to his own will. So as you read the first word of this chapter, I believe he's pointing us back to chapter 1, and we look at how that God has spoken unto man, how that God has done great things for man, and yet here is man being given the opportunity and the means for salvation, the gospel, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, to how shall we escape? To deliver us. Given Christ to deliver us. So if you think about that, and you think about that the law and the word of God that came to Moses and was brought down by the angels, we could read that over in Deuteronomy. If every time that a man missed the mark, there was a just recompense of reward, one that was equitable, one that was right, one that was in line, that the punishment was correct. What is man going to face rejecting Jesus? How do you escape? And you know, really, what do we need to do? Therefore we ought, so that word means to be, it would be proper, it would be in order. We ought to give, now just listen to this, the more earnest. So, you know, he says the more earnest. So earnest means, that means to hold the attention or to grab hold of that. But he says it like this. More, super abundant, greater degree of hearing. I mean, he's really driving at something here, isn't he? How do we hear? You know, I thought about it like this. I thought as I was studying on this, I don't know how anybody else does. But when I'm driving, if it's snowy or icy, I turn the radio off. I will crack the window. And you know what I'm doing? I am paying attention. I'm listening to the sound of the road. Does it sound like water? Is it silent? Do I hear that snow compacting? You know, I'm listening. Is the engine revving up? Am I spinning? I'm paying attention. Do you do that driving in snow? How many of you would say yes to that? What are you trying to do? Would you say that you were trying to escape having an accident? Escape wrecking your automobile? Escape running off the side of the road? But how would that compare to escaping from the wrath of God? How would you compare having an automobile accident to escaping the wrath of God? Do you reckon there should be a super abundant, earnest hearing? Should there be a great, great attention paid to the Word of God? God knows, and I say it with all honesty, I'm not talking about hearing me. I'm talking about hearing the exhortation, the explanation, the understanding, the application of the Word of God for us. Are we going to hear that? Because if we don't hear that, know this, that this Word of God is God's mean for us to escape the wrath to come. Is there wrath to come? If a man was stoned to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and that was right, that was legal, that was just, that was in line, that was the will of God Almighty to stone a man to death who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, what in the world will God think would be right, equitable, deserving for that person that doesn't come to the salvation provided by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You reckon we ought to really pay attention? Do you reckon? I mean, listen to what the Bible says. Therefore we, who's we? Who's we? Who's this letter to? To the Hebrews. To the Jews. To a people that have heard the Word of God all their lives. So the writer is saying to the people that have heard the Word of God all their lives, you need to have a super abundant, extra, greater attention to hearing the Word of God, lest at any time we let it slip. Lest we let that Word of God go by. It's a picture of a leaky vessel. You know, this is what came to my mind when I looked that up and it's talked about a leaky vessel. I thought about a pig pen and a trough. I don't know how yins build a trough, but you know, some people build a trough out of a V. Some people build maybe a square trough. But you know, before the pigs come, you built that trough and you filled it full of water so it'd swell up and wouldn't leak. I tell you, God is wanting us to have something. Now, where do we hear the Word of God? It's got to go here and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And friend, the transformation is going to take place in here. So I'll have to hear. And if I've got a leaky vessel right here, that Word of God is going to leak out. That Word of God is not going to be beneficial. What I'm going to get? The majority of that Word of God, and it being the water of the Word, how hard is it to find a leak if you got water? It won't be too hard to find. I mean, if I'm pouring in hog ration, I'm not going to find a leak, am I? But if I put water in the trough, I'm going to find the leak. So the writer says, I want you to give more earnest heed to the way that you hear. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Because if God, if He spoke to us by angels, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect, if we're careless, if we don't regard this great salvation that God has provided for man? I mean, if God is going to allow two men to witness against me, and I'm going to be stoned to death for breaking the law on the Sabbath day for picking up sticks, when the Holy Spirit of God, when God the Father, God the Son,
and the Word of God and all of the preaching and our own conscience and our own remembrance condemns us, how will we escape hell? Are you going to escape hell? Let me ask you, you know something? I might be able to escape every one of you. I might be able to escape a house fire. I might be able to escape the highway patrol. I might be able to escape from the Buncombe County Jail. But I promise you this, friend, I'm not going to escape from the hand of God. Friend, when Almighty God cast a man or a woman into hell, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is there any escape from the hand of God? I tell you, He's made a way for us to be delivered. And that deliverance is through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that deliverance, if I was concerned enough to turn the radio off, roll the window down, and try to listen with a great attentive ear to make it from my house to the job or from my house to the schoolhouse, friend, if I'm so attentive to do that for this life and for an automobile, what should I think about with my soul? Of what degree of attention do you think ought to be paid to the Word of God for the salvation and the escape of hell for the soul of man? Now, Paul is talking to a people that have always had an opportunity. He's including himself with this group of people, lest we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. What? More earnest heed to what? To the things that we have heard. To the Word of God. So, let's just think about this for just a minute. So he says in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 2. I guess I'll read 1. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, that you're going to come up needy, that you're not going to have what you need. For unto us, now listen, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So they both had the same opportunity, didn't they? But the Word of God preached did not profit them. I wonder how much profit there is. And you know what I'll have to do? I'll have to look at my life individually. Chris will have to look at his life individually. And I'll have to say, how much have I been profited by all the preaching that I've heard? How much have you, individually, how much have we been profited? Of what benefit? How much have we gained by hearing the Word of God? They heard the Word of God, but the Word of God was not heard in a manner that they would believe it. It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, what is the profiting if I don't hear it in the manner that I would believe it? Friend, can I sit here and hear and not hear? I can. I tell you, it's in the Word of God over and over and over and over again to take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. I just say this, if I'm not interested in hearing, God is not interested in giving. You take some food to somebody, okay? You take a load of food to them because they say, well, we're in need. And you go there next week, and none of that's been cooked. None of that's been eaten.
None of that's been used. How do you feel about taking more food to them? How do you feel about helping them more if they're unwilling to receive what you've given them? How do you think God feels about that? Well, let's look in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 21. And he said unto them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept in secret that it should not come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given." Isn't that wonderful? You know what he says? He said, let me see the attention that you give to my word. And if you give attention to my word, I'll give you more of my word. I'll give you a greater understanding of my word. I will enlighten you more because I see that you're interested and you're paying attention. And if you'll pay attention and give heed to the word of God, then I will give you more of the word of God and I will benefit you greater and greater. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Does everybody have ears to hear tonight? So we all have ears to hear. So the difference is what attention we pay, right? The difference is what attention. Are we earnestly? Are we super abundantly and earnestly paying attention that we might be benefited by the Word of God? Paul is saying, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time they leak out, lest the devil come by and gather up the seed that fell by the wayside. I'll say this, you know what I could do? Spiritually speaking, I could be just like this. God, send me the word. Lord, let it fall. I want to bring it in. I want to gather it in with my ears. I want to gather it in. And let more fall to me, Lord. Let me gather more of it. Or I can let my attention go everywhere and on everything and pay no attention. It's amazing what people pay attention to and what they disregard. That it is of no value past the next 10 minutes captivates the minds, and that is of eternal value is paid no attention to. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to tell you what the book says. And I'm saying this, that this is still applicable today in 2021. That there's many we sitting in the church that hears, but they don't hear. They hear, but they don't understand. They hear, but they don't apply it. They hear, but it doesn't mean anything to me. My God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be unable to escape the wrath of God. We're going to leave this world hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and never be benefited by what we hear. I tell you what, it'd help the whole crowd tonight if you had a new preacher. That'd help the whole crowd tonight. It would. Help the whole crowd. I believe it'd last longer. I'd say 3 months. But it'd help everybody. Everybody's attention would be different, and we would, I'll tell you what we'll pay attention to. I doubt very seriously we'd pay any more attention to the Word. To the Word of God. We'd pay attention to the mannerisms. We would pay attention to the way, to the voice. We would pay attention to the actions. But I wonder, what does it? Would it matter tonight? Would it matter, honest to God, would it matter, friend, if I preached on my knees the ever service from now till it was over? Would it matter if I preached sitting in a wheelchair? Would it matter if I preached standing on my head?
No, not a bit.
See, your attention would be different, though, wouldn't it? But the Word of God would not be any different. So what do I need to focus my attention on? I need to focus my attention on hearing and understanding what the Word of God is saying, lest at any time I let it slip through the cracks, I let it go by, I give it no regard, I pay it little attention, and friend, here I am, unable to escape from the wrath of the Almighty God. And I've been in church my whole life.
Right.
And bound into hell. Mark 4. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet. You know, I dropped a screw out of a fan the other day. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I could not find it. And I mean, I thought it should be in this vicinity right here. And I went to my bag, and I went to my tools, and I thought, I'll find a screw that'll work in this fan to make this work. Well, I looked, and I found something I thought would work, and I put it in it. And when I finished it, it did not act, it did not look, it did not function the way it should. You know what I did? I got down, I got two flashlights, and I'm on the floor, I'm in the floor, and I'm looking, and you know something? For this piece of equipment to work, I've got to find this screw. There is no choice, I have got to have this screw for this to work. So, I'm going to find this. I've got to find this. And you know something? It wasn't in the general vicinity. I would have thought it would have been in 5 or 6 feet. But you know what? It was 10 or 12 feet as far as from me to Kevin, away from where I thought it would be. But you know, with diligent searching and turning the light on, I finally found what I needed. And when I put it in the right place, it functioned and looked and operated like it was supposed to. That was a valuable piece for that to work. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to hear the Word of God or the most valuable thing, a friend, our soul escaping the damnation of God. A friend, if we don't hear the Word of God, we're missing the most important piece. Take heed how you hear and with what measure you meet it, of what value you place on it. God will recompense you with that value that you place on it. He'll make it of more value to you. If you would place a great value on the Word of God, I tell you what He'll do. Friend, He'll allow you to understand more and more and more of the Word of God. He'll bless you with a greater understanding. But if you think the Word of God is of no value, if you're careless, if you're going to let it leak out of your vessel, if you're not going to pay attention, God will allow you to go on down that road and find yourself, friend, trying to escape from the wrath of God. There's no escape from the wrath of God. God made one escape, and that escape is through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way to escape the wrath of God. But you're going to have to hear, and you're going to have to sit up and pay attention, and you're going to have to say, God, would you help me to understand what He's talking about? God, would you make me to see me in this picture? Would you allow me to see me in this scripture? Would you allow me, God, to see whether I'm on the right side or on the wrong side of this scripture? Would you help me, O God? Would you help me, Lord? You sent your word to me. God, help me to understand it.
Right.
You ever pray before you come to church and ask God to give you a message? For God to speak to you? For God to enlighten you? That God could speak? Do you think God can really speak to me? I tell you, I was just thinking a minute ago while we were praying. I was thinking, God, would you speak? Would you speak to these lost people like you spoke to me? Would you speak to them? And I mean in a moment, faster than I can blink my eye, I went from a man that was all right to a man that was lost and going to hell. I mean in a moment, God spoke to me. And I wasn't even in the church house. I wasn't even under the gospel. But I tell you what I was under. I was under the sound of someone's voice that was under the gospel, led by the Holy Spirit of God, cared for my soul, and spoke to me about it, and God Almighty used that individual to get my attention. And I tell you, I went to church next Sunday, and I tell you, I sat there and I paid attention. I was going to die and go to hell. You know something? You're going to die and go to hell without paying attention to the Word of God. We ought to. The Hebrews ought to. The Jews ought to. The religious people ought to. The church members ought to. Those people that think they're saved ought to. And those people that are saved ought to. So he says, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. For he that and for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And Luke, I believe Luke says it in his writing, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to sit under the gospel for years and years and years and die without the light of God in your heart? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? I believe Chris could testify to that. That if he had died before that night that he come right here and got saved, what about that? Being in church your whole life and die lost and undone. Of what value is the Word of God? Let me ask you this. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you tell me what value the Word of God is. And God gave Himself on the cross. The Word gave Himself on the cross. The Word of God was put on the cross, and He was there that you and I might be able to escape the wrath of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I tell you what this salvation is. It's complete. It's a salvation that is complete. It delivers me from all of my sin. It delivers me from death. This salvation delivered me from hell. This salvation delivered me from the influence and the power of the devil. This salvation has delivered me from myself. This salvation has delivered me from my own thinking and delivered me from the thinking of this world. Thank God for a salvation that's able to deliver a man from the wrath to come. A wonderful salvation. A salvation that a man could say that he's saved to the uttermost. So if that light that's in you is darkness, if all of that knowledge and all of those opportunities through the year and you're still not saved, if the summer is past and the harvest has ended and we're still not saved and God calls tonight, how shall we escape? I said before, I tell you what, I might escape a lot of things, but I'm never going to escape hell. I'm never going to escape God. I'm never going to escape death. I'm going to die. This flesh. Now, I say this, God delivered me from the spiritual death. Through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I have been delivered, and I presently have eternal life. I have eternal life now. The day that He brought me, a friend, out of darkness into the marvelous light, transformed me, translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, a friend, I have eternal life from there. There is no end to it. I was born into the family of God. Isn't that something to be born and never die? Now, we're not going to do that in the flesh. But if we are spiritually, if we're born again, we're born and we have eternal life. Paul said to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to go from this world into the next world. And friend, you know something? Our soul, our friend that God saved and birthed into the family of God, there's not going to be any lapse there. But how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen to these words in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the we. Therefore we. John chapter 8, verse number 42. Maybe I'll read 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we. Paul says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. See how this verse, folks, see how this verse right here, these two or three verses fit with Hebrews chapter number 2. We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand my words? Even because you cannot hear, you cannot understand, you don't comprehend my word. Why? Ye are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. What did Jesus say to the we? He said that you're of your father, the devil. Now, was He saying that to be mean and cruel? He was saying the reason that you don't hear my words is because you're not saved. You're not born again. You're not a child of God. You're not a believer in the Word of God. You don't believe in me. You don't believe who I am. I tell you, friend, why do people not hear the Word of God? They're not born of God. We come and we come to church and we come over and over and over and over and over again. We never understand it. We never comprehend it. We're not really interested in it. And it comes and it leaks right out of the vessel. And we're not benefited by it. But rather we're damned by it. The more that we have, the more that we hear that Word of God that was down at Capernaum, that Word of God that was down at Galilee, it brought a greater condemnation on them than it brought on Sodom and Gomorrah. They had not that opportunity in Sodom and Gomorrah that Galilee and Capernaum had. I'm fighting the same battle right now that we're preaching about. The same thing. So, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of a reward, how shall we escape? So, chapter 32 in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. So the word of God comes. Chapter 33 and verse 1. And this is the blessing wherein Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came down from Sinai and rose up from Seir. Unto them he shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000 of his saints, and from the right hand went a fiery law for them. So, here's what we have. We have the law coming down by the dispensation of angels. But let's look across. Let's look at chapter 32 and verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For their day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Now he said this. God said, I'm going to be just in my recompense and my vengeance. So if God spoke to man through angels and through the man Moses, if he's spoken to us through and by his Son and by the Holy Ghost, how much more accountable are we? What would be equitable today? You know something? Let's look at a hypothetical situation. Let's say that I'm a saved man under the law. And I'm out there picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Now, I'm a saved man, but I've disobeyed. I've disobeyed the law, and they have brought me before the council, and there's two or three witnesses witnessed against me and said, yes, we saw him out on the Lord's Day picking up sticks. What does the law say? The law says to stone him to death. If I'm a saved man, all they can do is kill me. Okay? But under grace, under the grace of God, under the grace of God, if I'm not hearing the Word of God, if I'm not hearing the gospel, you know something? It won't matter whether you kill me or not. That'll be the least of my worries. What I ought to be worried about is going out to meet a God who can both destroy body and soul and cast them into hell. How shall I escape the wrath of God if I neglect so great a salvation? What could they do under the law? Kill the body, that's all they could do. They couldn't condemn nobody to hell. But if I don't hear the gospel, if I don't hear the word of God, if I don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to my heart, what is God going to do? He said, vengeance belongeth to me. I'll recompense. Their foot is about to slide. The calamity is right around the corner. You ever thought about that? That God said your foot's about to slide and calamity is around the corner? You ever thought, what is God going to do? Is God going to kill me? I'm saved. That's an escape out of this world of sorrow, right? But if I'm a lost man, what's after death? The judgment. The Bible said the rich man died and they buried him, and in hell he lifted his eyes. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said this to the Thessalonian church, chapter 1, verse 10. Maybe I should read verse 9 as well. The gospel went to this people. And they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. My goodness. The wrath of God? The anger of God? Have you ever seen God mad? Let's just look at justice. Let's not even think about God being mad. But let's look at the justice of God. Why don't we go to Calvary on Friday afternoon and look at the justice of God? Why don't we go to Pilate's Hall on Friday morning and look at the justice of God? Why don't we go and look at a man that's unrecognizable as a man, that his bones are looking at one another, that he's bloody from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, that he's hanging on a cross, and that the light of heaven goes out from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's look at the anger and the wrath of God that fell upon Jesus Christ, and man is going to disregard that. I tell you, you tell me that God Almighty killed His Son for you, and you're going to disregard and pay no attention to that. I tell you where we're headed. We're headed to the wrath of God.
That's right.
Looking unto Jesus, waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. My goodness. That we've been delivered? What does it take? What do I have to do? How many works do I have to do? I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to set up, pay attention, realize that God is speaking to me. The Son of God died for me, that I am one of those that He died for, and I need to tell the Lord and agree with God and confess unto God and realize that I'm a sinner, lost and undone without the Lord. Else, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to face the wrath of God.
Right.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If under the dispensation of angels, every transgression, every disobedience was treated with equity and fairness, and everybody got what they deserved. What am I going to get if I turn away the Lord Jesus? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore, of what worse punishment? Suppose ye shall be thought worthy of who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. You know what I do? When I don't pay attention to God speaking to me out of His Word, you know what I'm doing? I'm walking on it. I'm wiping my feet on it. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't wipe our feet on it. But we sit in the house of God and pay no attention. I tell you what He says you're doing. He says you're trampling underfoot the Son of God and the grace. The grace and the mercy of God, it's being trampled underfoot. Of what would you think would be worthy of that person? Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? We paid the Spirit of grace of no mind. Paul said,
Don't let the spirit of grace, don't let grace come and you come up empty. Don't despise the grace of God. Don't despise that. Don't count it of no value.
Right.
You know, I was saved by grace. By the grace of God, I was saved. Escape the damnation of hell. Escape the wrath of God by God showing me grace. By God giving me mercy when I deserve judgment. By God slaying His Son that I could be spared. You know, that's what He's done. He slayed His own Son that you and I could be spared. How do I come to that knowledge? Oh, He said, I would that you gave an earnest, a more abundant. I would that you had a super abundant attention to give to the Word of God that you might escape the wrath of God. You know, it's really, really a simple salvation. It really is. But it's so hard for man to apply himself. I'll say this. You'll not get saved. You will not get saved paying no attention. No, I tell you what, He said, strive. Lord, are there few that be saved? Strive. I say unto you, strive. For many will try to get saved. Many will try to enter in when the door is shut. I believe you talk about a picture. Look at the ark, folks. There wasn't nobody wanting to get in, was they? Nobody's concerned. Why, things are going on. I mean, the Lord even said it, the end of time was going to come just like it was in Noah's day. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. Their life is going on just like every other day. And they pay the Word of God and the preaching of Noah and the building of ark. He's a fool. That's what they thought. But I tell you, when the door went shut, no concern yet. But when the rain started to fall, don't you imagine there was many a person? I don't know. I have no idea. Had these people around that area, had they ever been to the sea? Had they ever seen a boat floating? Had they ever seen that? May or may not. I would think maybe that they had. So they knew what Noah had built was an escape from the wrath of God. But the door was shut by God. Many shall seek to enter in when the door is shut.